You're listening to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast.
Welcome to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. It is October 23rd, 2021, and we have a very special guest with us today, Miss Angela Pendleton. Angela is a friend and former colleague of mine from way back in Las Vegas. Both of our first teaching positions were out there.
Yes.
And we are really excited to be able to talk and kind of get things going with the podcast today. Angela is teaching in Rockwall ISD in Texas. This is her 21st year teaching, and she has been with Rockwall for 11 years. Previously worked in Dallas ISD as the head director at Woodrow Wilson High School and J.L. Long Middle School for 8 years. And she is, and she began her teaching career, like I had said, in the Clark County School District out in Las Vegas in 2000. She taught private violin and viola for 10 years and performed with various church and community orchestras since 2011, and both on violin and viola. And she's originally from Oklahoma City, holds a bachelor's in music education from the University of Central Oklahoma, and a bachelor in mass communication from Oklahoma City University, which I did not know that you had two bachelor's degrees.
Yeah.
And Angela is has a dachshund named Bailey and enjoys movies, local movies, and music performance, kayaking in her neighborhood. So welcome, Angela, to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting to talk to you again.
Absolutely. It's been a while. I know we've had some, you know, brief interactions on Facebook and whatnot. But when we had, we talked a little bit about, I don't know if it was technology or what it might have been. We just said, well, let's bring you on the podcast and give our teachers to get to know you a little bit and what you've done. So thanks for being here. And so how's, I kind of talked about your background. How is it going for you right now? You're teaching in high school or middle school right now?
I'm in a middle school right now. I am a big person on balance of work and life, and so this is a great way for me to help my kids out, and then also have a really good fun life in Rockwall.
There you go. Yeah, sometimes we lose that balance. And it's important that we keep that in mind all the time, because it's just like I said, it's just so easy to lose that. We're so passionate about what we do and dedicated to our profession and to our students that we sometimes forget about ourselves. Tell us a little bit about besides, you know, teaching middle school, which, you know, it's, you are telling us that one of the things that you've done to help your work-life balance. But what are some of the other things that you do, some practices that you might have to talk about that work-life balance?
Well, I think being in Texas, we're in the Bible Belt, so Christian activities and church are important. So that kind of takes your mind off things and centers you a little bit. I also make sure that I stay in social contact with civic organizations that I'm a part of that keeps you involved. And usually on me, it's the music side of things. So I will go to meetings and do social activities like that, that will help me throughout the year in my school life.
Yeah. Yeah. And then how do you go about drawing boundaries between, you know, well, I need to do this for work, but I really need a break. Do you have any other practices like, or guidelines or, you know, rules of your house or that you go by to kind of, make those decisions? Because, you know, for a lot of, especially if you haven't been teaching a long time, it's, you know, and you're on your own and it's like, well, you know, maybe I don't have a family to go to, or maybe this or that. And I'm just going to go to work. I'm just going to keep working. But what do you do to kind of draw those lines, and what are some of your practices?
I've picked this up in the last probably 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. If I can get the majority of my work done at school, I'm not the type to actually leave my laptop on my desk, but I try to leave everything when I walk out the door. I try to leave that and put it in a place where I can come back to it the next morning if needed. I totally get that we do concerts and we do weekend things. But if I can, I try to put in my hours, do my after school rehearsal, and then I am free and clear. And you leave the building and you have your other part of your life.
Right. There's nothing worse than working all day and knowing that you have a load of work to continue to do, whether it's emails or administrative things or making a program. There's all these, you know, things that we have to do. There's nothing worse than knowing that you're going to be spending, you know, all night on it. And yeah. I've done kind of the same thing. You know, at the end of the day, if it's not done, there's tomorrow and it will get done. And when you have certain deadlines, you have to kind of go above and beyond. But at the same time, it's all, a lot of it is about planning too, and just making sure that you, you know what's coming up and what you have to do to get that done, to meet those deadlines, whether it's, you know, a concert program, like I said, or fundraiser things or performances, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, Rockwall has been very supportive. They realize that we put in a lot of time to make sure our programs are successful. And of course, the word self-care in the last few years has become a big thing. So I am really, I'm lucky all the way around when it comes to taking care of business when you're at school and taking care of your kids and their social emotional learning and all that. But they are actually very honest with us. On Fridays, they'll send us an email saying, have a good weekend, relax, take care of yourself. And I hadn't heard that before until I came here. So we're pretty lucky with the support side of it. And our parents are as well. Our parents, at least my parents, realize that I'm there for them when they need me. But on the weekends and on the evenings, I'm not going to send them a bunch of emails. I'm not going to send them reminds. So they know they can have their family time as well without hearing from a bunch of teachers.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. So Rockwall is where in Texas? Where's it? Where's the center, or where's it near?
We are about 45 minutes east of Dallas. It's considered the Dallas Metroplex. The last 10 years, it has changed dramatically. Years ago, it was country. And they put in this lake, man-made lake called Lake Ray Hubbard, and it became a lake community. When I got here in 2011, it was nice, but they were adding to the population. Now we are in the middle of asking for a $468 million bond for the school district only to deal with our growth. And it's a 10-year plan, but it's overhauling our school district, like moving sixth grade into middle school, building on our middle schools so we can house them, and then even creating ninth grade centers. So every open space that was in Rockwall is developing. And so it's not going to look the same in another 10 years.
Yeah, it's booming right now.
It is totally booming. And Dallas, it kind of comes out of Dallas in that housing, they're landlocked. They can't do anything except bulldoze a house and build a new one. And so people are moving out, and Rockwall is a great community to do that. So, yeah. But orchestra-wise, everything seems to be booming. It's not just the school district. It's the programs within the school district. It's club teams. It's just every aspect of life. So it's a good place to be in right now.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. It almost reminds me of Vegas in the late 90s when we were there. And every year, new schools would open, and you'd build your program up and then lose a third of the kids to a new school and then build it up again. And 2 years later, they're That's a great it's a great place to be in, though. And it sounds like, you know, they're able to develop it the way that they want to, which is really nice. So And that's great. And then how many classes do you have a day and how many students do you have each day?
Well, we are traveling music teachers, except for the head directors at the high school. Mm. Each middle school and assistant at the high school maintain at least one elementary. Okay. Right now it's two. We finally hired another assistant for middle school. I was at five schools last year. Wow. And it was challenging. And they finally opening new schools every year in our district, we needed a new person. So mm-hmm. I am at two elementaries that feed into my middle school. And so I don't lose my kids after a year. I get to keep them for 3 years and then bring them up to the high school. So there is a really strong pattern going from elementary to middle to high school.
That's great.
And we're working really hard this last year on curriculum and also on recruiting and retention. And so there's a lot of intermingling of the staff, the students, of course, the high schoolers love to see us at their concerts, and it's just amazing how they grow. And so, trying to recognize our seniors from when I had them 4 years ago can be challenging, but, you know, it's fun to see. And at least with the Williams, my middle school and the cluster that I'm in, the majority of my kids are still there a senior year. And when you see kids going into music ed, at the end of their high school career, it's like, wow, I did something good.
That's fantastic. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it seems like it's getting more and more difficult to get students into education. But at the same time, we need a lot of people to step up and do this to continue. Because, yes. A lot of us are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel in that retirement bit. But that's fantastic. Congrats on that. And you guys start in fifth grade or fourth grade?
We start at sixth grade.
Sixth grade to elementary for you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we started fifth grade when I started 11 years ago. And about 3 years ago, we phased it out because I think the district had the plan of moving sixth grade up eventually. Mm-hmm. So we're in a transition.
Yeah.
But we were worried going from fifth grade, how are we going to switch our curriculum to keep the kids at a high level, starting them in the sixth grade? And it worked out pretty well. And COVID happened. And so it's their new normal. You know,
right.
We just adapt to what we need to. And I have been really happy with the kids that I have had, and I've been able to pivot that other word into what the kids are needing. And I want to say our level is still up there. We just finished region honor orchestra auditions last weekend, and we're wondering how that was going to end up. Last year, it was an online audition only, no concert or clinic. And they only did etudes, and we did okay, but it's hard to tell how you fare against the area school districts. And so this year we had straight auditions back to normal, and we still fared pretty well.
Great.
So what we're doing seems to be working.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So how would you say you fared during and after the pandemic? I mean, obviously we're still in it, but I'm starting to see some good things. We just got a notice from our superintendent that our mask mandate will be going away soon. And it's also obviously dependent on numbers staying where they are. But when it gets below 1%, then they're letting us go without that. And as soon as the vaccine for ages 5 to 11 kicks in, then 30 days after that, then there will be no more mask mandate, which, exactly. It's just really promising news. And it's just exciting it's really hard conducting with the mask on. It's really hard to see your kids' faces and how they feel. And you can only read so much through the eyes,
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So how did you guys fare? Go ahead.
We did okay. I wondered when I had remote kids in the fall, Some of them came back in the spring, and we really talked about, I am a co-director and the head director at the middle school. We talked about what should our program look like? Where should we place our kids for optimal learning and optimal success? And so we have three classes. I do elementaries in the morning and then come to the middle school at noon and then teach afternoon classes. Three levels. We have a beginner and kind of a remote group that mm-hmm. were remote last year. And so they have already surpassed where we thought they'd be at this point, enough to put them on our fall concert next week. So it's one of those that if they enjoy it, they're going to try their hardest, and they do. They really do. So my middle group, I am in charge of the non-varsity UIL, which is University Interscholastic League. It's our contest
festival, assessment, yeah. whatever you call it in your state, right? UIL, exactly.
Yes. And so I, you know, we have our goals for the year, and I set out to have my middle schoolers, 7th and 8th grade, make sure they have a good understanding and grasp of key signatures and how to perform them. And so the reason I got in touch with you earlier was about finger patterns.
That's right. And that's what it was.
Yeah, coordinating mm-hmm. finger patterns along with key signatures and scales. So far they're enjoying what they're doing. And so we'll know a lot more when we get to sight reading season in January, mm-hmm. what that really looks like.
Yeah, that's a true test, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I have some fingerboard geography type worksheets I'm about to put up on my website on orchestrateacher.net. And they're basically, you know, your standard finger pattern type worksheets, but I've made one for each instrument for each key. So, key of C, okay, what finger pattern are you using on this string? And then I have them for cello and bass, which aren't finger patterns, but at least the basses have first and third position in there. So they know that in this key, if they go to third position, they're going to be using a first finger or fourth finger or second finger, or where are they going to be? And it just kind of lines it out. For the visual kids especially, it kind of just lines everything up and gives them that a little bit more of an understanding of what things should look like. And we play finger patterns and things like that. So those will be coming out very soon. I'm going to be uploading those. So check out orchestrateacher.net. That'll be coming up in the next couple of days.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you guys fared very well during the pandemic.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had about 10 audition, and 9 made it, and the 10th was an alternate. So
wonderful.
100%. Is a pretty good
percentage
to have in a blind audition middle school orchestra.
Wonderful.
So I'm very happy about that.
How did your numbers fare overall?
We're at about a student enrollment, you mean, in our program?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Our the top two groups, varsity and non-varsity, are sitting 35, 37.
Okay.
And the younger group, we're at, I think, 15. And it's weird. I added 2 new kids this week to my level. And so I guess I'm up to 37 maybe. We average 100. Mm-hmm. And with COVID, we just kind of were like, well, okay, let's see where we're at. And the fact that we still have kids coming to our district mid-year, that kind of shows that we are doing okay. And
good.
Our fine arts director is very good about talking to us about our numbers and what do we want to look like and how do we get there. So we have lost a few, and it was the ones that were remote, and maybe we didn't get that connection with them remotely mm-hmm. online. But for mine, my remote kids, the majority of them are still with me.
Good.
So out of about 50 kids in the elementary realm last year, I probably got 40.
Okay.
So, I've kept most of them, and they're either in my class or there are a couple that worked really hard and they're at the top level as a 7th grader.
Great.
And then even those that were remote last year, that have come into the middle school program, they're at a place where they're reading better, their position is good, the tone quality is really nice. So it's good to see them grow.
Absolutely. Did you have a large number of students remote, or?
We are zero remote.
No, that I mean, did you have a hybrid choice? Students have a choice.
The hybrid, I guess, was you can do your remote learning at home, but you are allowed to come up for your sports and electives.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
At the middle school, it was the majority of my kids were in person.
Wow.
There were only a few that we would work on remotely. And then mid-year, about November, we started live streaming so you can see the conductor and the teacher and what's happening in the classroom. And you could hear the class, but you could only see me on the podium.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that worked out. And then when we did our recording for our contest, we had a few that you had to come up and attend a certain number of rehearsals mm-hmm. in order to participate in the recording session.
Yeah.
And they've done pretty well. The elementary, I had a few that came back to school at semester. But I maintained a weekly remote class with elementary all year with them. So they did see me every week until that last week of school.
Fantastic. Yeah, you're fortunate. I had, as I mentioned in previous podcasts, only 15% of my students face-to-face and 85% were home. So there was a lot of learning loss, unfortunately, and it is nobody's fault except for COVID's fault.
Right.
So we're doing a good, we're doing a great job trying to catch up. It's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
But I will say that, my favorite thing is actually just having students, one, and two, their attitudes are great and they're working hard and they want to be there and they're not taking it for granted. And as a lot of students may have done that before the pandemic. So they're very appreciative and working hard, and that will get them far quickly. So
Yes. That's
what's exciting. We had our first concert this past week. We did it outdoors, not because we had to, but because we had a little uniform issue. It took a little longer, so we had to postpone. And then by the time we did that, the auditorium was no longer available. So we did a Symphony Under the Stars concert, and it came out actually fantastic. We had a perfect night, and we had a good crowd, and it was just beautiful. We had this giant moon, almost a full moon, right behind us, and it was spectacular. So we were actually thinking about possibly making that a yearly thing, just because. But I don't know if we'll get lucky like that every year, because it is Georgia, and we have rain or snow excessive heat. It could be any of those in October. So
Gotcha. Well, that sounds like a good time, though, to be outside. I am always the worrier. And it's like, okay, we can plan an outdoor concert. And then I'm just like, I'm having nightmares about it's going to rain on us. I know it. And so we haven't tried it. But I know that one of our middle schools did do an outdoor performance last spring. Mm. And it worked out for them.
Yeah.
So we have a harbor area that with restaurants and sailboat rides and stuff. And so the high schools have kind of a festival and they go out and perform. And there's an amphitheater right on the water. And so we end up with a lot of people that come out for those.
That's great. So
it is. It's nice.
That's great. So what do you see, for the future this year? Are you guys traveling? Are there anything, do you have any other big plans or, big concerts or things that you're doing in your classroom that have just really worked for you? Maybe that you got from the pandemic or or something like that. Anything that you want to share with our audience?
Well, I've noticed, being in contact with the parents really helped, because our 7th grade parents at the middle school have not dealt with concerts in our performing arts centers yet. They haven't dealt with uniforms. And so using Remind and emails and in just letting them know, we had a great rehearsal today. Thank you for your kids. they really enjoy hearing from us. Mm-hmm. And any needs that we have, like dry erase markers or tissues or something, that, you know, I just send out a quick email and they're responsive. So
good.
Continual email with or communication with parents has worked out really well. And just seeing how far we can challenge our children to try and get to that next level. And so far it's worked out really well. You never know. Every group of kids are different. And getting to know them on a personal level and then having that trust mm-hmm. that when you're on the podium, they have eye contact with you. They are nodding head, yes, I understand what you're doing, nonverbal cues and all that. That is starting to show up very, you can easily see it. And I mm-hmm. can't wait to see the recording of our fall concert to see what it looks like when I have their eyes and they know exactly how I'm going to conduct and wanting to be the best that they can be.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for this next Friday.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Communication important. You said you're using email and then remind, I use that as well. Can you tell us a little, just real quick about that? If teachers have not used that website before, that tool before.
Wow. It's been a godsend for me because it is a texting program. The parents and kids of a certain age can enroll in this, and I can just send out a quick text, like we're going to have a before school rehearsal, and it goes to their phones. If there are parents that don't do cell phones for whatever reason, they can use their email address and receive an email right when I send it out. And that is an immediate way to get all of your parents at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I highly suggest that.
Yeah. Remind.com and sign up. It's free. You can create classes and you can send it out to individual students. And you're not using your cell phone number, which is a good thing.
Yes. And you can turn on your replies. So if they have a question, they will contact you and then you can get back with them when you're able. But yeah, your phone is not ringing off the hook ever, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is great.
Yeah. And you can set up, I think you can set up office hours in there too. So if it's after hours, it'll send them a message back saying they're out of the office, but they'll get back to you. It's a great tool. If you're not using it, definitely check it out. It's totally worth it and not hard to set up and very easy to get everybody signed up as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, do you use Canvas or any kind of online educational program for remote?
Yes, we use Microsoft Teams, which I am not a fan of, but have come to have to embrace because I have to. So and it's working. And, you know, the great thing is I don't have to use it as much because we're not having to do classes on it or remote or anything like that. So it's just for, you know, putting the assignments up, notes out, messages out, that kind of thing. So yeah, we are using that and I can post files and whatever I need to do. So, and it works and it's gotten better over since we started using it a couple of years ago. So
Yeah. Well, we've used Canvas mm-hmm. and they gave us a tutorial in the summer again to refresh our memory on how it works. And I ended up using it as a good assessment tool where I put the assignment in and they are able to record onto the computer and it comes right to me. So that has been a great resource for assessments when you don't want to spend a number of days listening to kids in class. So you maximize your classroom time by using this. And I've done one test so far, but I will use surveys. I will send them questions, say, hey, go to Canvas and answer these questions to let me know where you're at.
Yeah.
So I know how to help you better.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That formative collecting the data so you can, you know, see where they are is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm using a Flipgrid in a similar way, you know, for videos and it organizes them nicely and allows me to watch them quickly, loads everything really quickly.
Yeah.
Video in Teams has not been very good.
Oh, okay.
So just takes too long to load. The compression's not good. And there's Microsoft Stream, but it just, again, it's not up to the task. So yeah. Flipgrid has kind of been the answer for me and has worked pretty well. But it's the same way, you know, not having to spend a lot of time in class listening to students and just putting up, having students do some practice on there as well. Just record a sample of your practice and give me your goals. That's the, I call it the practice vlog. So they're doing, they're talking to the camera like they're on a vlog and, hey, Dr. Laux, I'm working on this piece, working on these measures. Here's my goal. I'm trying to, you know, either shifting or intonation or tone or whatever it might be. And then they're telling me what they want to do. And then they practice for 5 minutes and I tell them that it should never sound good. You're not putting on a performance. You're just literally practicing. So it should sound like you should be going back and slowing down and doing all those, all the strategies we talk about in class and not necessarily just performing. So, and that's good. It's a great formative grade for them. And, if I can, I don't watch, it's a 5 minute video, but I don't watch all 5 minutes. There's no way I could. Right. So I watch the beginning and see what they're going to do. And I kind of hop and skip through the video and pick a couple spots. And it's just neat to see that progression.
Yes. And you get to see their thought processes while they do that, which to me, that's the one thing that I want to dive into a little bit more. I've set up kind of a survey about how you practice and goals and the purposes of doing it and repetition. And when you have a brain block, what do you do kind of thing? And so I'm going to research that a little bit more the rest of this semester, so that I can gauge how they're practicing and especially for contest season, what can we improve on? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into their minds a little bit more if they'll let me.
Right.
Middle schoolers, so we'll see.
You know, middle school is where they're really starting to develop and getting into good habits then. I've noticed, you know, my students who audition for and make my higher orchestras, even if they're not taking lessons, they're the ones who have that thought process of here's how I can get better. Here's what I really need to do, as opposed to students who maybe aren't as skilled. And it's not necessarily how much they practice or their skills. It's just how they think about what they're doing and how they go about it. That makes a big difference. So just training them to understand the process, and that will develop the results rather than, well, you're just good. You know, no, that doesn't. There are kids who are just good, very talented, but there's most of them are the ones who are developing those good habits.
Yes. Yeah. And I noticed that there's a natural inquisitiveness. And so I notice it with the top level kids as well, that they know, okay, that didn't sound right. So they figure out why it's happening without saying, "Miss Pendleton, why is it happening?" They're able to play through things and figure out from their left hand, right hand position, maybe why it's happening this way. And they're the type of kids that are going to try different things to figure it out. And I love those kids.
Mm-hmm.
They want to try and they're going to figure things out. You know, right. Scientifically, they're going to figure it out. And it's just nice to see.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Wonderful. Angela, it's just been so great to catch up with you. And, you know, it's been a long time since we've like really had an in-depth orchestra chat. So, and probably decades, honestly.
Right. I know. It's been like 20 years. And so, I mean, it's great when I get to see you and others that maybe I went to college with that are doing different things and just catching up to see where you're at now.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast, sharing all your wonderful ideas and your thoughts and your experiences with us, because you know, all of you orchestra teachers out there, we all know that sometimes it feels like you're the only one, or you're not sure if you're here or there, or, well, what are my kids doing, or how does this, you know, is this only happening in my school? You know, we all have different places that we're in, and but at the same time, it's neat to hear others' perspectives and others' experiences. So I really appreciate you coming on today, taking your time to join us.
Thank you. It was so fun to talk.
Absolutely. So That concludes another episode of the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. This is Charles Laux. I'm signing off for today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening. To find resources and more information, visit our website at www.orchestrateacher.net.